Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Hitler said, "He who owns the children owns the future." Today's culture knows this. That's why they create sexual confusion, control local education, and compel allegiance to the transgender, gay, and socialist agendas. Erwin Lutzer says, "Enough is enough." In his new book, We Will Not Be Silenced. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, along with Pastor Larry McCarthy, here is Pastor Lutzer.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and again, welcome to this special session of Running to Win. I have here in the studio today a member of the pastoral staff here at the Moody Church. His name is Larry McCarthy, and he is responsible for compassion ministries here and local outreach, and I'm sure a lot of other issues and responsibilities that are on his plate. But Larry, so glad that we can be together today to discuss my new book.
Always honored to be here with you, Pastor, and your new book, We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. And today, you present two very serious topics for our consideration: sexualize the children and socialism. Should we start with the title, Sexualize the Children?
Yeah, actually, these two topics represent two separate chapters. And I know that they seem somewhat unrelated to each other, but, you know, we're doing such a flyover, we have to cover a lot of territory. So let's begin with the sexualization of children. First of all, I want to say this. The cell phone in your teenager's hand does more to shape his or her view of culture and sexuality than an hour of Sunday school and an hour of church.
Amen.
What we must do is to recognize that we are in a battle here, and all of the odds are not on our side. But the reason that I called it Sexualize the Children is because I'm talking about our educational systems here, Larry, and I'm speaking specifically about the transgender movement and how our children are being confused today because of what is being taught. We are in a cultural stream. Now, those who were with us last time will know that we spoke about propaganda and how propaganda creates a cultural stream. And woe to those who stand against it. And that's where we are today in our culture when it comes to issues of sexuality.
The public school system, so much of the curriculum is not about reading, writing, arithmetic. It's about transgender issues. It's about social issues. What effect is this having on our culture? And in particular, what effect is it having on the children?
Absolutely huge. And, you know, I might say this, that the new curriculum that has been instituted in some of the states, including ours, I will not even publicly talk about some of the things that are being taught because they are very pornographic. They are very detrimental to the life of children. And yet today, because of the issue of sexuality, which touches us so very deeply, that is the direction that our culture is going. And another thing, while I'm on the topic, Larry, my heart breaks. Just recently, I spoke to another mother who attended a session where she was going to be told about what her children are going to be studying. And she said that almost no parents attended. So you have parents today who don't really care what their children are being taught in the public schools. And the comprehensive sex education curriculum is really designed to create sexual confusion. It is totally antithetical to all biblical values. It touches children very deeply at the depth of their being and is really, in many respects, destroying them. And this is important for Marxism. You know that one of the things that I do in this book is show how Marxism underlies a lot of things that are happening. In the Marxist point of view, if you have children who are brought up in a home, the nuclear family, you actually are a unit of oppression. And you're a unit of oppression because, you know, children are being oppressed by their parents. They're being taught values regarding the church and regarding the Bible. So it is much better that these children are taken and they are educated by the state in a way that is going to destroy that kind of respect. Furthermore, of course, wives are, you know, in subjection to their husbands, so they are being oppressed. So women should work outside the home, and we know that that is certainly happening in huge numbers and huge proportions, and I'm not saying that that's always wrong. But the point is the family is being destroyed and has to be destroyed in order to bring about Marxism. The best way to train children to accept a Marxist point of view is that if they are rootless, that is to say that they do not have strong family structures. You know, I always keep going back to Hitler because I've written a book about what happened in Nazi Germany. And I remember this speech that should give chills to every parent who is listening. He said to the parents, you can take the child, you can clothe him, you can feed him, but his soul belongs to the Reich. That is, you know, to the Nazi Reich. He who owns the youth, and I'm quoting here directly, owns the future.
Hmm.
And so what we have happening today is in our schools, it's very detrimental. And for all those who are listening here to the Ministry of Running to Win today, you may think to yourself, this is just happening out there. You're wrong. The fact is, Christian families are facing this. Somebody came to me and said, you know, my daughter came home from school and said, you know, I don't think I'm trans. Do you think I'm normal? In other words, the way to be cool is to say that you are trans.
Oh,
and so children are led down the wrong path.
Yes.
They are told that they need the kind of surgery that is necessary in order to change their sexuality and their sex. Larry, let's take a deep breath and think about this, okay? Here you have a young man who becomes trans and now he's a woman, okay?
All right.
He grows up as a, quote, woman.
Mm.
Will a man be attracted to this woman, I put woman in quotes,
yes,
and want to marry her? Obviously, they will not be able to have children. People don't think of the long-term consequences of what they are doing.
I really appreciate the step back, the view that you're given. And from a historical standpoint, with the decline of the family for any civilization within a generation, that civilization falls. And so this assault on the children is an assault on the family, which in turn is an assault on the entire culture. How can we even consecrate this technology? I'm kind of just stuck for a moment on your point about the cell phones and the internet and the technology and how it's invading the home. Is there a way to even consecrate that?
Well, thank God that technology oftentimes is consecrated to God. You know, we are using technology. But Larry, I'm very pessimistic. The power of this, I can see this in the lives of our grandchildren. You know, the cell phones, the texting, and other stuff that's obviously on the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
We are really being invaded here by an enemy, and we need to recognize it to be an enemy, and it's a huge enemy.
That's a good word. These aren't just benign things that
right.
You can just put in the hands of children.
Yeah, like a mother said to me, I didn't know that when I gave my teenage daughter a cell phone, I might as well have given her her first shot of heroin. Because it's so addictive. But here's another reason that we need to think about this. You think, for example, of the pressure that colleges are under. I'm talking about Christian colleges now.
Okay.
They are being told that, you know, if you want to be accredited, if you want your students to be able to get loans and so forth, you had better get on the LGBTQ plus timeline.
Yes.
And by the way, I add the plus, because the plus means that other things are being added to that. And so what you have is the invasion of freedom of religion when it comes even to Christian colleges. And by the way, this revolution is not over. Not only is it important for the revolutionaries to say that that which was good has to be now called evil, but that which at one time was called evil now has to be called good. The revolution will not be over until that happens. And, you know, if you want to know where this is going, and I know we have to discuss socialism yet on this program, so I'm going to hurry here.
Yes.
We haven't seen the end. Have you heard, Larry, I'm going to ask you this, have you heard the word thruple?
No.
Thruple means a marriage where there are three people. It may be two men and a woman, or, you know, two women and a man, a thruple. And I read in a Christian magazine that thruples are now even in our churches. Because, you see, there's no end to this. Once you've destroyed marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman, there's really no stopping point. And by the way, and this is really chilling, the foundation has been laid even for pedophilia.
Mm.
And that is happening. I remember being with a woman who was in the lesbian lifestyle, and she, you know, came out of that and repented, and thank God she became a mother. She got married and became a mother. And she said this, and I've never forgotten it. She said, "Without God in my life, I found no reason to say no to anything."
Mm.
And without God in people's lives,
yes,
they can say no to nothing. There's no reason to say no. Now, I'm going to get to the response of the church, and then let's talk about socialism, okay?
Yes, sir.
I say to all the pastors and to all the churches out there, we need to give our families resources. Homeschooling may not be an option to all of the people that we're speaking to. Even Christian schools might not be available. But I say to the parents out there, God is going to hold you accountable for the way your children were educated. So you have to seek God, and you have to find out how you can stand against this on behalf of your children. Whatever you do, and I'm just pouring out my heart right now, don't throw your lambs to wolves.
Mm.
So parents out there, let me say this again. Don't throw your children to wolves.
Amen.
What we need to do is to stand against this culture. And by the way, in the book that I've written, we do have some resources that are listed there that we hope will help parents stand against the culture on this culture that has lost its way. Well, it's time for socialism, Larry.
The book is called We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. Pastor, America is built on individualism. We don't join anything. What is socialism? Why would socialism be attractive in a place like America?
Yeah, capitalism is the disease. Socialism is the cure. That's what we are being told today. You know, where do we begin? When Rebecca and I were in Russia, I began to understand, and this was in the 1980s before the Berlin Wall fell, I began to understand why socialism, Marxism, was attractive. People under the czars lived a very terrible life. They were abused and so forth. So
yes.
Doesn't it make sense to think that if the state took over everything – by the way, when you talk about socialism, you're talking about statism. You're talking about government ownership. Couldn't the government distribute the benefits and the money more evenly? Now, that was the hope. But, of course, the hope failed, and it will fail again. Mm. Socialism purports to not go that far. It, as I mentioned earlier in a previous time together, it purports to become Marxist incrementally. So the government takes over more and more responsibility. It becomes more involved in price controls. And to many people out there, socialism is attractive because it's free, right? I mean, free college, free health care, free whatever. It's free. Why wouldn't we be in favor of it?
Mm-hmm.
But there are problems.
You want to tell us about them?
I want to tell you about them. And then let's talk about the bailouts that happened during the COVID epidemic, okay?
Yeah.
Here's the problem. If you think of the economy as a pie, what happens in socialism is the pieces of the pie are supposedly evenly distributed. But when the pie has been eaten, there are no more pies. That's why socialism always talks about the distribution of wealth. It cannot really talk about the creation of wealth.
Okay.
And the only thing that the government can do to keep it propped up is to create more money. You know, when we were there in a hotel and I visited a number of Marxist countries early on, especially in the 80s and 90s too, you know, we'd stay at this hotel and it would cost 2 million ruble.
Okay, right.
Well, it might be 50 American dollars,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I always wondered, why that? Why is the currency so out of control? Because the only way that you can keep it propped up is to create money. You cannot really create jobs. And furthermore, you undercut all incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Because why should I work hard? I mean, we were in one country where we were told that doctors were not paid much more than the other workers in the hospital. Well, who wants to be a doctor? Who wants to be a doctor if you're not going to be paid a lot more? But there was income equality that was so important. So it stifles ingenuity. It goes against every fiber of our being. But oh my, how it appears to be such an answer to human need. One other thing, and then I know you want to get to the bailout that took place. The kibbutz in Israel.
Yes.
They decided that they would run this according to socialist principles. Okay, you come there, you work, and you get free housing, free this, free that. Well, people began to bring their dogs to meals. They began to sleep in. They began, because you see, what you're doing is you're rewarding oftentimes laziness because you get the paid the same anyway, right? And somebody said that that had to end because, and I hope I get this right, it is a paradise for parasites. And they said we had to put an end to it. One other quote from Churchill before you ask about the bailouts. Churchill said this, "The great vice of capitalism is the unequal distribution of blessings. The great virtue of socialism is the equal distribution of misery."
All right. You've teased us with it for a few minutes here in this section. So socialism is going to give everybody a piece of the pie. We just had, as a response to the COVID-19 pandemic crisis in America, an unprecedented bailout, I'll call it, trillions of dollars. Isn't this what the government is supposed to do?
Well, isn't that interesting? I'm not qualified to decide whether or not that was absolutely necessary. It certainly seemed it because this is the first time probably in history where a government told people not to work. You know, usually it's because the economy has fallen into a pit or whatever, and this time the government actually caused it. But here's the thing. I read an article, which I quote, in the Washington Post, which is a magazine that most of us don't get our news from necessarily. And it says, we have crossed a Rubicon. We're going to look back on that bailout as our lunge, basically, into socialism. And, you know, I can't help but think that there is some truth at least in that. Now, we're not socialist yet because the government hasn't taken over business and all those things. But the point is this, that the more you give to people and the more you create ex nihilo, you know, I love that expression. It's Latin for out of nothing.
Yes.
The more people are going to expect that that is done.
Now, there's the danger, right? Because now the expectation is made that they'll just, let's just print up another $3 trillion.
Yeah, exactly.
And another $3
trillion. Yeah, and free everything else. Right. And what will happen is inflation will explode. Now, Larry, we have only a few minutes, and I want to explain to people why I wrote a chapter on socialism. After all, churches have survived in all kinds of different economic kinds of systems.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism has enabled America to become very wealthy. And you can go around the world and you think of the mission organizations in India, in Africa, in all kinds of countries. They're all sponsored by American dollars.
Yes.
And Americans give $400 billion to charity every year.
Mm.
No socialist country could possibly come near doing that.
Yes, sir.
And my burden is that we might not use capitalism in order to become wealthy, but that we might use capitalism like Jesus said we should do with our money in the Gospel of Luke, when he said, use your funds to make friends of people so that when you die and enter into everlasting habitations, they will welcome you. So in the book, I give a strong pitch for people to understand that God has given us money not to hoard it, but to share it, and to recognize that capitalism has been a blessing to people and that we must continue to fight for that which is going to create wealth so that we can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And I give examples of how this can be done.
Yes. The name of the book is We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. Pastor?
You know, I need to say that we're so thankful for the many people who listen to the ministry of Running to Win. And, you know, because of those who stand with us with their prayers and their support, this ministry is now in 20 different countries. We're so thankful that we are throughout the Middle East in Arabic, about 100 stations throughout Central and South America in Spanish. Who could have believed the growth of this ministry? It's because of people who have stood with us, who have said that we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the application of Scripture to running the race of life is very important. And as you've heard us say many times, we want to help people make it all the way to the finish line.
Next time on Running to Win, don't miss part four of this compelling look into the very near future, a future in which radical Islam wants to destroy America with the help of their friends in Antifa and other leftist organizations.
Radical Islam on a mission to destroy America? That's a bold statement.
There are those who would like to see America destroyed and rebuilt. People fly planes into buildings because they are oppressed, and America is the great oppressor. I think what Jesus is saying is, you forgot that the world is your enemy. And you have allowed the world into the church, and people's garments are spoiled. I didn't write this book to reclaim the culture. I wrote it to reclaim the church.
Amen.
Pastor Lutzer's new book, We Will Not Be Silenced, will be sent as our gift to you as you support Running to Win at this crucial time with your gift of any amount. Just call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.